Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 is our text this evening. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. The purpose of this sermon is to note Cain's negative example, and to take warning from it. Cain committed two horrible crimes, two crimes of note that we need to make sure we're not part of in this world today. He changed God's worship to suit himself. And then he killed his brother Abel when he wasn't happy with God's response to his worship. Both of these crimes, that is, sins, were crimes of self. He wanted things his way. God's way was pushed aside. His brother was pushed aside. While the end of Cain's sins may be the extreme, his attitude is seen all too often today. People are all about themselves. And we have trouble with that daily. We want what we want. Sometimes we say that we want things of God, but our actions say something different. Cain's problem was self. We need to learn from the sin of Cain, lest we repeat it. There's all too often opportunities to copy the sins of Cain. And we need to make sure that self is not in the picture. Cain's problem was self. This is the same as saying rebellion. Cain rebelled against God. He was his brother's keeper, and yet he slew his brother. He was given the opportunity and the responsibility to worship God in spirit and in truth, as we say today. When it came to relationship with God, he had to be number one. He was more important to himself than God was. He tried to make God accept the worship that he wanted to give and not take what God told him to do seriously. When it came to relationship with his brother, he had to be number one. His brother was accepted before God. And so take away the one that was accepted, and maybe he thought that he would be accepted once his brother was gone. find in the text that just wasn't the case. Let's state plainly the great obvious negative lesson from the text. It is a sin to put self before God. Once again, it is a sin to put self before God. And then, it is a sin to put self before one's brother or neighbor. It is a sin to place yourself before the responsibility that you have toward your neighbor or your brother. Let's look at some examples in the Bible. Too long to read, but Numbers 16 gives us the case of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now, Aaron and his family, they were chosen to be the priests of God by God himself. But Korah says, we're just as holy as this guy is. Let's do it. Let's present this before God. And they came out before Moses with their censers. And they were told that they were to bring them out and see if it was pleasing before God. And they found out it wasn't. God devoured them, opened up the ground, and devoured Korah, Dathan, and Abiram's tents, and they were no more in Israel. The problem was self. God had made a statement as to who was to be the priest, and Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they simply did not accept it. They put self first. They wanted the honor to be for them. There is the case of Saul. We're talking about King Saul here in 1 Samuel 15. Once again, it's a bit much to read, but you understand what Saul wanted. Saul wanted his itinerary first. He didn't want to wait for the priest to arrive in order to make the sacrifice so that they would be victorious. No, the people told me that I'd better get with the sacrifice, not wait for the priest. Actually, he was in control and command of the people. He simply did not want to wait. And so when Samuel arrived, the idea was that Saul had done something presumptuously. He had made the sacrifice. And the prophet Samuel upbraided him for this. The case of David, 2 Samuel 11. David put self first when he saw this woman on the housetop. Saw this woman and he sinned with regard to her. Sinned in his desire for her. Sinned in his reaction to what he had to do in order to hide the thing. Had a man murdered, took his wife in order to be his. In all those cases, God had told people what to do. God had made sure they understood what it was that he wanted. Purity, the pure sacrifice, doing it his way. All these things were ignored. What was the solution for Cain? Cain looked out and saw that somebody else was in front of him. And he was going to press everyone aside in order to be up front. He pressed aside God, pressed aside his brother. He was up front about all right, but God was still in control. And God upbraided him about this. What was his solution? Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. What I mean by that is, what should Cain have done? What should he have realized? What should he have done to change his heart? Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that God has given us, these are the summation of these things. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. What would his worship have been if he loved God to this extent? Would he have offered of the fruit of his ground? Or would he have done what God said to do? And what about his brother? If he loved neighbor as self, what would he have done? He wouldn't have done such to his brother. Wouldn't have murdered him. He would still have been living in pleasant places with God. Love God with all your heart. Love neighbor as self. And you have Cain's problem licked. That's what it took. But he refused these things. This teaching is far more ancient than the beginnings of Jesus. It goes back to the very beginning. It is the positive purpose for the account of Cain's sin. As Moses related these things out on the desert floor to the people of Israel, it was for a purpose. They were not to follow Cain in his way, but they were to live in a different way than Cain. They were not to follow the people that were lost in the great flood. No, they were to live as the people of God, loving God and loving neighbor as self. It's the positive purpose of the account of man's condition before the flood to tell the people, you don't live that way. As your parents once told you about people that they knew of that ruined themselves with drink, ruined themselves in how they acted with regard to their spouses, ruined their lives. You can imagine it in your mind, what you heard as a child. How you were to eat, how you were to speak, how you were to work. There's a reason for those things. A positive purpose. To get you to do the right thing. This story about Cain was for the positive purpose of teaching the people of Israel and us, even to this day, to love our neighbor. To love our God. Don't end up like Cain. That's the idea there. It's the positive purpose of the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't be like them. Jesus says all the law and prophets hang on these two commands. All these people, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the people of lost in the flood, Cain and his sin would have been changed instantly had they obeyed God's commands with regard to loving him and loving neighbor. Perhaps you thought these things were just a New Testament teaching. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 18 and 34. Leviticus 19, verses 18 and 34. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. It is the Lord's command, was from the time of the law of Moses. And as we look at this account of Cain and Abel, it was to have been from the very beginning. God was to be preferred, and neighbor was to be loved. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Imagine it, if you will. The people of Israel are on the east side of the Jordan. They are a month from going into the promised land. They have spent 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses is trying to sum up through a series of sermons what God has given them in those 40 years. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Beginning at verse 4, we find what is known as the Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word that we translate here. Notice verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. There is the solution for Cain once again. If you do that, you do not shame yourself in worship before God. You do not offer something that God will not accept. You will take God at his word and not put yourself before him. God is first. If Cain had loved God with all his heart, he never would have made the offering that he did. If he had loved neighbor as self, he never would have hated nor killed his brother. That's the solution. The solution is love. And that's our solution today. We find ourselves in the sin of Cain. We make a change. Change from loving self above all others to loving God and neighbor. Cain's solution is our solution. Cain's rebellion manifested itself in his worship as it can for many of us. It might begin with putting recreation before worship. You know, taking the Lord's Supper in the deer stand. I've never been a deer hunter or a hunter of anything else, but I have heard people that prefer the first day of deer season so much that they'll miss worship. Never have understood that. Perhaps I don't know the excitement of it all. I don't know what it is to be freezing out in a deer stand and be waiting for something to happen. I don't know the thrill of all that. Maybe you do. But do you put that before God? I mean, he's the master and king of the universe. What should we expect should be number one? Should it be our thrills? Or should it be the one who put the very breath in our chest? Should it be the one whose air we breathe as we sit here right now? Who should be first? Cain's solution is our solution. It might begin with the thoughts, but I don't get anything out of it. Perhaps you've thought that yourself in time past. Maybe as a young teen or something like that. Mom and dad allowed you the thoughts to form into your head, and you said, "No, I want to go back to bed." When you get down to it, though, when you finally get the brain cells to fire good enough, you can only come to one conclusion. That's bad thought. That's just a bad thought. I don't get anything out of it. Well, perhaps you don't put anything in it. Perhaps you haven't decided who is number one yet. Perhaps there's many things that you haven't thought right with regard to those things. Loving God with one's whole heart will manifest itself when we seek to know what pleases God and then to do it. Do we have a high respect for God? We will never complain, "I don't get anything out of it," when it's his worship done his way. There's an implied love for Bible study here to knowing what God's mind is. Perhaps we will be more excited about studying this dusty old book when we understand that that's God's mind, that he has put down his precepts and what we should understand about him down there. We come to a great love for him if we study his word and his will. Where will we find innovations in worship if this attitude prevails? You know what innovations in worship? People say, "Well, I like this better." I asked someone one time why they had the instrument in worship. We feel God's pleasure in that. We simply, it's a matter of feelings for some people. Feelings are set high above what God says. Feelings are simply feelings. We feel things all the time. In the middle of football season, your team's winning, you feel good, right? Next season, they lost their quarterback, and they're getting beat like a drum. How do you feel then? Kind of changes, doesn't it? Weather's good, you feel good. Next week it's raining. I wish it would quit raining. I just don't feel good. Feelings change. Some of them are not worth discussing with anyone else. I feel good because my team's winning. I feel bad because my team's losing. It's just not worth discussing. And so when we say, "I feel God's pleasure when I do this one thing that God does not authorize, never has mentioned it, never has said he wanted it, and yet we place it before him, thinking that he will be pleased with us." The only way that you can ever know whether God is pleased with something is if he tells you. There's only one way he's going to tell you, and that's through his word. The attitude of Cain. Let's do what I like. You know, I would rather, I like the way the vegetable matter smells than I do when we sacrifice a lamb. I just like it better. Or maybe it's cheaper. Or maybe it's something else. I don't know. Maybe it's because I grew it. Don't know what the motivation is. But how do we know whether God is pleased? He's pleased. We know it when he tells us he's pleased. If we get rid of the way of Cain, what will happen to denominational names? What will happen to modern day prophecy? What would our attendance be like if we got rid of the sin of Cain? How many volunteers for service would there be? What would our giving be like? My. Changes would be made. And positive changes would be made. When we put God first and don't elbow out the neighbor, God will be pleased. Cain's rebellion manifested itself in his relationship with his brother, as it can for many of us. No one here may ever murder his brother to put self first, but don't we have subtler ways? Smear someone's good name, discouragement, exclusion from fellowship, ignore our brother when he is in need, take advantage of his good nature, have a laugh at his expense. We can steal from him. We can take his wife. We can lead him away from God. There are many ways the sin of Cain manifests itself. And we need to be careful in all those things. When we don't love our brother, don't love our neighbor, we get in the way of Cain. There's no doubt that we can be just as sinful as Cain. Loving neighbor as self will manifest itself when we treat others as we want to be treated. I suppose that's one reason why we stress the golden rule. Centuries and centuries of Bible teaching. You know, many people will get a lot of things wrong. But when you go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, not too many people get that or misunderstand that. If we understand anything in the Bible, we understand that when we, how we treat our neighbor is how we would like to be treated ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and prophets. Live that passage, and you cannot live in the sin of Cain. This is the highest standard known to humans. The highest standard known to anyone. It's the only rule that will counter the sin of Cain upon his brother. There is a so-called silver rule, but that might keep Abel from being dead, but it will not hinder the hate in Cain's heart. Only the golden rule will. When we follow the golden rule and love our neighbor as self, where will stealing and lying be? Where will adultery be and backbiting? And even murder. Where will those things live if we have the golden rule in our hearts? Many will think that this account of the sin of Cain will not apply to them because they have not gone to the extremes of Cain. That thought is folly. Because there are so many ways that we can live out the sin of Cain, putting ourselves above God and above our brother. Have you learned the lessons of loving God with all your heart? Will it show in your worship? Have you learned the lessons of loving neighbor as self? How will that change your life if you pick up that standard? How will it show in your relationships? This very evening, there may be those that are guilty of the sin of Cain, and you've been able to tell it from what we've talked about here. And you need to do something about it. If you're a New Testament Christian, if you're a follower of God and of Christ, if you're someone that has once been baptized for the remission of sins, and you've fallen from the good way, Your way is, your solution is simply to repent and ask God for forgiveness. Of course, if it has manifested itself in some way toward your neighbor, you need to make it known that you've repented, at least to the extent that it is known among us. It may be known to one person. It may be known to the congregation. If so, you need to make the congregation understand that you've repented of that sin. It may be that in your life you have the sin of Cain, and that manifests itself that you simply will not submit yourselves to God, have not in the past, and you need to make a change on that. You now believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is God's gift to men, and he is Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It may be that you need to repent of sin and confess Christ before men. And then sometimes that sticking point is you just don't want, or have not in the past, want to be baptized to make yourself, some people think, a spectacle before others and being lowered into the water. But that's God's command. The sin of Cain was, he said no to God. I'll not worship you like you want to be worshiped. I'll do it my way. Has your way worked? Do you have remission of sins? Are you able to stand before God as you should? If not, let us assist you in that. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song? Sit on one of these front pews so that we can help you.